The seeking for them is different from the Sinaiyat, like Salatul Fajr, and the bulk of our rak'at. Because say Salatul Layl Masna Masnako, Hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar in Bukhari and Muslim. She says the prayer of the day, and it's from Riwayat Wal Layl. The superlative prayers of the day and the night, they call in two. Masna, two. So in all of these things, when we want to make the sleep, we will sit the firash, like we will sit for Salatul Fajr. But if we are going to make it three rak'at in all, the first two, if we sit down to make tashahud, we'll sit the firash. The third one will be at our room. So the second tashahud, we have not described the sitting of that tashahud. We have not also properly described the tashahud itself. Because the tashahud, we know at tashahud to be generally speaking, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika lah, wa ashhadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. But the tashahud of Salah have something that comes before it, before this. And it's also called at-tashahud. And that is the at-tahiyyat. At-tahiyyat lillah. Yes, there is a hadith of tahiyyat, the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after every 2 minutes, he makes at-tahiyyat. So you can refer to that as at-tahiyyat. We can also refer to as what? At-tashahud. We mean the same thing. If you call it at-tahiyya, you have referred to it with the name of what it starts with. If you refer to it as at-tashahud, you have referred to it as, you have referred to the name as one of the major things that it and the Adhkar that we say in it. In the last class, we were only able to describe the sitting itself. The sitting itself, where we place our feet, where we place our hands, where we place our face, and what we do with our finger, the sababa. What do we do with it? We described all of this in the last class. So it remains for us to discuss the Adhkar itself, the tahiyya itself, or the tashahud itself, like we said, and then the tasbih. Three things. The tashahud for al-jalsatul al-ula, and the tashahud for al-jalsatul thaniya, yani al-akhira, and then the tasbih itself. Because on tasbih too, there are issues. When we're younger than this, there's a masjid where people fought. Fight of a box. Because is it allowed to make what they call then Salamada Akhu Salamadi? One tasleem or two tasleem. They fought the right and they divided the masjid. Unfortunately, it was a politician that was behind the crisis at the time. So he just took one of the goods to his house. And they started observing that Salah in his house. And they made his house to become another masjid. Because of the issues of Salah Madayadi and Salah Madi. That is, can we say one of you we must always only say Jesus lives. That's the issue that is to be resolved on the issue of Tasleem. The other issue to be resolved on Tasleem is wa barakat. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Is there a ziyada of wa barakatuh or not? Ulama divided the hadith of Ibn Majah. Although I was opportunity to see the handwriting of Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar in Medina with Sheikh Samir Ismaili, where he insists that that ziyada wa barakatuh is from the ziyada of that hadith. So the ulama are divided. Some say no, the ziyada wa barakatuh is not that. But the correct thing, inshallah, is that that ziyada wa barakatuh is that. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to the right. Then assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi to the left. If someone say no, don't say wa barakatuh, because wa barakatuh does not exist. One of the scholars will agree on that, that it does not exist. And I've also been opportunity to read the book I have. You have to make in card that ziyada of wa barakatuh is not sahih. But the correct thing is that that ziyada is sahih. That the messenger will add wa barakatuh when he makes the key. So these are the issues that I learned for us to take. But I observed that in the last class we left out one thing. It's a bit major, the description of the feet in itself, the placement of our hands, and the sighting of our eyes, and the movement of the finger. We mentioned that we will describe it to us, and then to the rest of the people behind us. But they overtook that and took our time. We were not able to get to that. And then in the last two classes, we just had any time to ask questions. The classes ended just like that. I hope that if you keep a relaxed mind today, clarify all of these issues, and then to keep to end the salah, inshallah, in our next class. I will discuss the tahiyya itself. The tahiyya has issues around it, because the tahiyya has been very important. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud reported tahiyya. Umar radiallahu anhu reported tahiyya. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma reported tahiyya. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri reported tahiyya. Abdullah ibn Abbas reported tahiyya. Aisha radiallahu anha reported tahiyya. They all reported tahiyya. Although the ulama said in most, the strongest of them all is the tahiyya of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, Abu Abd al-Rahman al-Hujali. The most correct tahiyya for me. But all the rest are authentic, so they are allowed to. That's what Ibn Abbas is in Sahih Muslim. The rest are in other books of Hadith, and they are correct. Ulama say yes, we can recite all of them. It means for each of us, the best thing for us is to memorize 7 ways of making tahiyya. See that, concurrently, in most of the time we recite with the tahiyya of who? Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. And sometimes we will recite with the tahiyya of the rest of the companions. This is the best thing to do. So I'm sure many of us stick to one word of making tahiyya. The fact that there are different ways means that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not restrict himself to one. If we want to be more conforming with the Sunnah, we should not also restrict ourselves to one. The Prophet did this, alayhi salatu wa salam. He did this. So we should also be doing this and this and this and this. 7 ways. So these are the issues, inshallah, we'll discuss them in our next class, bismillah. But today, I think we could describe the teaching of Iftirash for the fourth Jalsa. And then thereafter we could go on. Our brothers who have questions, and the people behind us who also have questions, they could ask their questions. Abu Abdullah and Abu Abd al-Rahman. Who amongst you will describe this sitting for us today? Abu Abdullah and Abu Abd al-Rahman. name. You describe the people to us. There is only one way of keeping in that first keeping of the Shahid. No two ways. As far as the Sunnah is concerned, we can only keep a firash the way it has sat. And if we keep a firash, then let's keep what we feel from the ground when we walk. We will promise so that it comes to cook for us. We sit down it for the left leg, then we do rest the right foot. So that our knees will be folded, the two of them, in the direction of the Qibla. That is the way to sit in that salah. There are those among the ulama who say it is wajib from the wajibat of salah is that we sit in firash. He said because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded him to say salatahu, or al-musir salatihi, he commanded him alayhi salatu wa sallam to sit wafdarish. He says sit in firash. And we know the misruling anything we obtain in that hadith is obligation. Except as otherwise only. So it is obligation to sit in firash. If a person does not keep his firash in the first tashahud, he is committing a sin while in salah. Someone is in salah, he is committing a sin. He is disobeying the Prophet Muhammad. The reason I mentioned that is that some people can say, so why let me go on in there in Tumay and Nye? That is the meaning. If a person does not keep his firash in that first titel of tashahud, he is committing a sin. He is disobeying the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why are you on salah? The Allah protect. Then we mentioned to us that when we sit in the rush, we can place our palms either on our knees or on our lap or on anywhere between the lap and the knee. This issue that I just said now, some years back, some brothers had it from me. Where to place the palm? Is it on the knee or on the lap? There were two groups. One group said on the knee. The other group said on the lap. One brother came and said, ah, you have put one on the knee, put one on the lap. The brothers who were arguing then, they are big men now, they are big malams now. If I remind them, Nana, do you remember that you people have argued on this issue? You will just be smiling, brother. There is nothing to quarrel about. I always emphasize, there is nothing to be a quarrel. There is nothing to bring about a quarrel. Just let's make our intentions clear for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I should be ready to accept the truth if it is with you. And you should be ready to accept from me if it is with me. So this joint intention of, I want to accept the truth, if it is with my brother, it will not make us quarrel. It's the major thing I thought of when we wanted to start discussing Masail here. Many of the issues we discussed are issues that people quarrel over and fight over. That doesn't mean to bring about a fight. It doesn't mean to bring about a fight. Even yesterday there were issues, like the simple issue. I told the brother, you don't need to quarrel on it. Because the tone of the brother asking the question, is it like somebody gasping for bread? In the night yesterday, I said, calm down. You don't need to quarrel over it. It's very important when we discuss issues that we are holding differently. Don't quarrel. Don't make a quarrel. Be ready to read and understand what does the text say. You must be ready to understand what is my brother saying. How does it differ from what I am saying? What my brother is saying? Ulama refer to this as nuqtatul khilaf. Where is the point that we differ from? What are we disagreeing on? Many times this matter is not defined. What is the point regarding which we now settle? We have agreed. Where do we settle? We must define it. when all the evidences we must be understanding is these are in this point of dynamic, there'll be no problem at all. But many times, one brother wants to show the other that he's more knowledgeable than him. It does not bring more, it does not bring benefit. That you are superior to him, perhaps, in your evidences in this argument does not mean that in every matter of knowledge you are better than him. So please, let this very important. Even when we don't agree, just know that this is where we differ. He says this, what I think like this. Didn't Ibrahim, Suleiman, and Dawood differ? In Yahkumani fil hawt. People say headsmen and farmers. It is not today that headsmen and farmers have been clashing. Allah told us in the Quran, the matter regarding Suleiman alayhi salatu wasalam and Dawood judge that Allah mentioned in Surah Al-Anbiya is regarding the headsmen and the farmers. إِذْ نَفَشَتْ فِي غَنَمُ الْقَوْمِ وَكُنَّا لِحُكْمِهِمْ شَاهِدِينَ Herdsmen packed their, took their animals and it destroyed the farmland of the people. Yes, the farmer and herdsman issue that Suleiman and Dawood discussed in the Quran. And Dawood gave a judgment. That, oh, their farm, their animals destroyed their farm, so they should take over the animals. The animals destroy the farm goat. The animals. Suleiman said, my father, you could look at this matter in a different way. Alayhi salatu wa salam. Suleiman said, alayhi salatu wa salam, let the farmers who own the farmland, let them take the camel and be milking it for as long as the headsmen go to repair the farm. The day that the farm becomes like it was before the destruction, then the owners of the animal will go back and take their animals. Allah says, "Hamnaha Suleiman." We make Suleiman alayhi salatu wasalam to understand the matter better. وَآتَيْنَهُ حُكْمًا وَعِلْمًا. We gave Suleiman hukum and ilm. Ulama say hukum means we make him understand the Sharia to be a judge, balanced judge. And ilman here in Nakira means nubuwa. We made Suleiman a nabi. We made him to be someone who be a fair judge, and then he be a nabi, a rasul. So, and then he started, so he left Suleiman. After Suleiman gave the balanced judgment, stronger than that of his father Dawood, Allah now left Suleiman after saying that he started praising Dawood. He praised Suleiman, he praised Dawood, alayhi salam, over farmers and headsmen. So, usually, I'm just saying that many times when we differ, we only need to come down to know where he is coming from. And then we'll accept the truth. Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam affirmed the ruling of Suleiman. It is a you that you are my son. Keep quiet. No. So this is a balanced judgment. Let the farmer take the animals and milk it. Let the herdsmen go and repair the farm. The day the farm becomes the way it was before your animals destroy it, come and take your animals. Is it balanced or not? If the whole world says it's not balanced, Allah said that it's balanced. So farmers and herdsmen, it's not today. And it will not end today. May Allah protect all of us. So when our brothers, when we differ, don't make different issues quarrel. Basically, discuss the matter. You will either come together on a point of common agreement, or it will go away, or this person holding a view. I can give you a lot of examples in this case. Brothers, quarrel is fighting. You don't need to quarrel. In a nutshell, our palms could be on the knees, our palms could be on our laps, or anywhere around it. Al-Imam al-Nawawi said, rahimahullah, la na'arifu fi dhalika khilafa. We don't know that there's a difference of opinion around that. That the hand can be anywhere around the lap, the knee, to the knee. We don't get the impression that deeper. Meaning that even if we cannot emphatically say that it is mustafakun alayhi, the last majority of the ulama have agreed that that is how it should be. And this is what the text says. There's a hadith of Abdullah ibn Zubayr in Sahih Muslim. It mentions Uqbatayn. The Prophet will put his hands on his two knees. In another hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar, it says the Prophet will put his two hands on his lap. In the hadith of Wa'il ibn Hujr, it mentions Uqbatayn. In some riwayat of hadith of Abdullah ibn Zubayr, it mentions lap. In some it says the knees. It means anywhere around there. It's correct? We don't need to quarrel over that. So we place our hands around that. And there are two ways of making the ishara. The first way, the small finger and what we call the ring finger, we fold them both, make a ring with the thumb and the middle finger, and then point this one. People do it like this, it's wrong. They place the hand like this, it's wrong. Like this is wrong. Like this is correct. Like this is wrong. On the lap. Now, we are not seeing it. I will get a height on this now that you can see that. So that we can see above the lap. Now, like this. Either on the knee, wherever you put your right hand, that's where the left hand will be. Please, let's note that. In every of the hadith, when they mention rukba for the right hand, they mention rukba for the left. When they mention fakhri for the right, they mention fakhri also for the left. So don't put one somewhere and the other one on another place. No. You will not have a hadith for that. The two of them should be somewhere. If you are using the rukba thing, put it on nothing. If you are using Fakhirain, put it on Fakhirain. So that is the correct thing. And then the left palm is not clasped. The riwayah in Sahih Muslim that clarifies. It's not, don't clasp the hand. Yes. And then the finger too. Make sure they are pointing to the Qibla because that is what the hadith says. The entirety of the finger is pointing. If you sit like that, as we describe it, you will get it. You may see. You will get it. So that is regarding the hand. So first you like this, the middle finger makes a ring with the thumb, and then we will point the first finger, the sababa or sabah. First way. The second way is to grab, you make the three finger, the small finger, what they call the ring finger, the middle finger. You grab them, you grab the middle finger with the thumb. That's the second way. And then you point the sabab. Now, like this. We are both supported in Ahadith. Then we shake it. Shaking it in the Hadith of Wa'il ibn Hujr. And the riwayah is authentic. So we shake it. They did not say up, down. Neither did they say right and left. Shaking. In such a way that you will not be able to say you were shaking it up, down. Neither was he shaking it right and left. Shaking it. Or shaking it. Like this. The hand should be like this, not like this. People make tahiyya like this. They place the hand on the lap like this. It's wrong. You can help them return the hand. Just turn the hand. You will adjust. There are many examples of that. So we make that. And then our eyes will be looking at the finger. our eyes, we've been looking at the thing, they have to shake. Messenger said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that hand, lahi ashad ala shaytan min al hadid. It is very strong against the shaytan than iron. That hand we are shaking. Strong against it. So you shake it, and you look at it while shaking. Now, and then we make the tahiyyat. At-tahiyyatu lillahi. Wa-salawatu wa-tayyibat. This is the tahiyyat of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. At-tahiyyatu lillahi. You can say, wa-salawatu wa-tayyibat. والصلوات التحيات لله التحيات all the best of greetings and salutations and praise and glorification and adoration لله they belong to Allah and He owns them. They belong to Him, He owns them, and they are specially exclusive for Him. One of the scholars say, one shikmah behind that. They say, everything has a way we use it. By way of praising Him and adoring Him, everything has. But all of them belong to Allah. If you have 10 kings, there are 10 ways we give 10 kings. All belong to Allah. All the greetings belong to Him. He owns them. So, wa-tayyibat, or wa-salawat, wa-tayyibat, wa-salawat, all our salah. Fajr, Zuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha. All of them we have been observing. They belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All our nawafil, they are for Him alone. There is no way a king, people bow to Him, that they can be bowing to Him in the way Salah is made. So Allah alone deserves those ones. So they are for Allah. Wa salawat, at-tahiyyatu lillah, wa salawat, wa tayyibat. The best of all things belong to Him. And then we say, As-salamu alaykum, ayyuhal nabi. There's an issue around here actually. Should we say, As-salamu alaykum, ayyuhal nabi? Or, As-salamu ala nabi? Two strong views from amongst the companions down till today. The first is that you should say it as the Prophet taught us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, Allamani Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at-tahiyyata kafi fi kafay. While my hand, the Prophet taught me at-tahiyyah, while my hand was inside his two hands, he grabbed my hand like this, and he was teaching me at-tahiyyah. When the Prophet taught all of them Tahiyya alayhi salatu wa salam, he said, As-salamu alayka ayyuhan. So this is what the companions knew when the Prophet was alive alayhi salam. Just follow up the report. In all of them, he said, As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi. As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi. This is what we find. But Ibn Mas'ud himself, radiyallahu anhu, when the Prophet passed away alayhi salam, he started to say, As-salamu ala nabi. And this report occurs in Sahih al-Bukhari also. Ibn Mas'ud said, we will say, As-salamu ala nabi. We will not say, As-salamu alayka. Because this kafir is in khitab. If you are this, like, you are talking to somebody, As-salamu alayka. You see, so when the Prophet died and passed away, alayhi salatu, they will say, As-salamu ala nabi, talking about somebody who is absent. So some of the ulama, And some of them from among the companions, they said, no, you will remain upon what the Prophet taught us. He taught us to say, As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi. If it will change, you would have told us that if I pass away, you should be saying, As-salamu ala nabi. To further press on that point, they say those who traveled into to places, what the Prophet still taught them was what? As-salamu alayka. The Prophet will be in Medina alayhi salatu wa salam. Somebody will be in Sham, for example. Somebody will be in Yemen, for example. The Prophet was in Medina alayhi salatu wa salam. He still taught them to say, As-salamu alayka, even though they are not inside Medina with him. So the ruling of somebody who travels away is like the one who is saying it when the Prophet is not there, alayhi salatu wa salam. Do you get this point? The person who is not in Medina with them, who was away, still saying, As-salamu alayka, ayyuhan nabi. It is like somebody who is saying, As-salamu alayka, ayyuhan nabi, when the Prophet had died. And they did that when the Prophet was alive. They were all saying, As-salamu alayka, ayyuhan nabi. Alayhi salatu wa salam. When Umar radiallahu anhu was teaching the people tahiyya, he taught them tahiyya while he was on the minbar radiallahu anhu. Umar, Abu Hafs, Al-Adawi, when he taught the people tahiyya, he was on the minbar. He taught them, As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi. And that happened after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had passed away. Ulama say none of the companions stood up to say, no, Umar, don't say As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi. Because the Prophet has passed away, nobody stood up to say that to him. So they say that means even when the Prophet was not alive, till today, the correct thing to say is As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi. But Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, we would only say As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi when the Prophet was alive. When he passed away, we began to say As-salamu ala nabi. Afaw ibn Abi Rabah, he also said that the companions would say that when the Prophet was alive, they need to say As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi. But that when he passed away, the started saying was As-salamu ala nabi. They were not saying As-salamu alayka. Afaw ibn Abi Rabah said that. Afaw was Imam in Makkah. He met a lot of companions. Likewise, Abdullah ibn Abbas, he also said, this is what we are supposed to discuss in our next class, unfortunately. Let's continue. We may not need to repeat it again. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu also said that we should say, they used to say As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi. But that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died, they used to say what? As-salamu ala nabi. So there is this issue. So what do we do? As a person, I have changed opinion on this matter many times. Sometimes when you study the text, you feel like, let me follow what the Prophet was teaching them, sallallahu alayhi. So you say, I will say, As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi. After all, that's what he taught us. وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ نَسِيًّا. Allah did not forget, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet did not forget. He would have said, oh, if I die, you should be saying As-salamu ala nabi. He did say that. And then Umar Amirul Mu'mineen, the messenger told us alayhi salatu wasalam, if there were to be a messenger after me to be Umar, but there is no messenger after me. Umar radiallahu anhu will on the minbar teach As-salamu alayka after the Prophet had died. That is a strong way to look at the matter. Umar will say, As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi. So that gives a lot of weight to the matter in front of me. Omar, say that. On the minbar. Nobody can say, oh, Umar. No, it should be Assalamu ala Nabi. The view of Umar is strong, like the hadith itself, like. So some other times when you read the position of Ibn Mas'ud, that we always say, and that is the correct thing to do, we should understand Islam in the way the companions have understood it. Ibn Mas'ud said, they used to say. It means it is some of them away from Umar. Not all of them. The reason why we have to go like that is, if Ibn Mas'ud was talking about the entirety of the companions, it is prohibited to act differently. If Ibn Mas'ud's statement, radiallahu anhu, meant that all the companions used to say, As-salamu ala nabi, it is wrong for us to do any other thing. Different from what the companions do, radiallahu anhu. But if we can affirm that, As-salamu alayka itself, even used to be said after the Prophet by some of the companions, and by the likes of Umar radiallahu anhu, then it means if Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu was not talking about something that every of the companions was doing. He was talking about some of the companions. So say some of the companions will say As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi, because that was what the Prophet taught them. Alayhi salatu wasalam. And some of the companions will say As-salamu ala nabi, based on their ijtihad. So that's why Allahu alam, it appears stronger to say As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi. More so, when Aisha radiallahu anha, after the Prophet, she was teaching to the Sahiyah, she was also saying As-salamu alayka. Abdullah ibn Umar, when he taught to the Sahiyah, he taught them to say what? As-salamu alayka. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, when he taught the people, he said what? As-salamu alayka. He did not say As-salamu ala nabi like Ibn Mas'ud, like Ibn Abbas said. So it appears Allahu alam. Yes, amongst the companions there are two ways. Some would say As-salamu ala nabi. Some of them would say what? As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi. I would say As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi. To follow Umar and the rest of them. And that was what the Prophet taught, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But if I hear somebody saying, As-salamu ala nabi, I will not quarrel him. Because I know where he's coming from. But he should not quarrel me too unless he knows where I'm coming from. But I Allahu alam, it appears that the stronger thing is to say, As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi. Don't be surprised if you hear me on another day saying that, As-salamu ala nabi. The matter is like that. Sheikh Muhammad Nasir al-Din al-Albani in Sifat al-Salat al-Nabi was of the opinion that we should say As-salamu ala nabi. But Sheikh Muhammad ibn Adam al-Ethiopian al-Bahr al-Muhit was saying that no, we should say As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi. It makes it very interesting. So which of them will be? I will not blame you. But personally, if you ask me what is stronger, I would say what the Prophet taught, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Umar radiallahu anhu also taught is better. And when Umar taught it, he was teaching it on the minbar. After the Prophet, after Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, Umar was still teaching people radiallahu anhu to say, As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi. Allahu alam. This is what I think on this matter. You see, now you not quarrel me because you know where I'm coming from. Usually, it's last issues of difference. We only need to understand ourselves, we do not have problems. At all. So if you find me say, As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi, don't quarrel me. If I hear you say, As-salamu ala nabi wa rahmatullah, I will not quarrel you. But there's a misconception that is widespread. People said when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to Isra and Miraj, he came back with this tahiyyah. I don't know the proof for that. If a person tells you that, ask him, what is the truth? Just ask, what is the truth? What is the Masudah says, God, you Allah, as you are. When we pray of God, Salah, and we make tahiyyah, we want to make tahiyyah, we will say, As-salamu ala Allah, wa ala Jibreel, wa ala Mika'il, Allah says, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, stop saying that, don't say that again. Then the Prophet taught him what to say, alayhi wa sallam. The Masudah did not say the Prophet brought it from Isra and Miraj, from the Araj. The Masudah did not say that. Neither did I see in any of those who reported tahiyyah, whether Aisha, whether Umar, whether Ibn Umar, whether Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, or all of them. So when we say As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, we then say As-salamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi salih. Then after that we say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. We say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. If you say this alone, you are correct. If you add, Wahdahu la sharika la, the ziyada is sahiha. So you can say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Or, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Wahdahu la sharika la. They say, وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. After that, you make salat to Allah Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. You can say, اللهم بارك. You can also say, wa barik ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. You have made salat ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You make tahiyya, you make the tashahud itself, you make salat ala Nabi. This is the first thesis. التشهد الأول. This is how we make it. You know, I've thought about التعوذ من الأربع. Making استعاذة, asking Allah to free from four things. The narrations regarding it come for the last season. If it is Salat al-Fajr now, you say it immediately. If it is Salat al-Maghrib, you delay it onto the third sitting. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min azabi al-qabri wa a'udhu bika min fitnati al-masih al-dajjal wa a'udhu bika min fitnati al-mahya wal-mamat wa a'udhu bika min al-ma'asam wal-nazram. Then you make dua for yourself as you desire. Some of the ulama say you can also make dua. The narrations on dua also applies in the first sitting of at-tashahud. Make dua as much as you will. So don't ask me now. Can we make that dua with our language? Don't ask me now. We'll discuss it inshallah. The issue is that issue also has akhdu wa-rad among ulama here and there. We'll discuss it inshallah. I assure. So when we make that, when we make that, we either stand up for the third rak'ah. If we want to stand up for the third rak'ah, how do we stand up? Naam, al-itimad al-arsh, we rest on the ground and stand up. Because Wa'il ibn Malik ibn al-Khawairi said, Kana Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إذا كان في وتر من صلاة when he stands up for the odd one in this salah, that if he ends an odd rak'ah, like the first rak'ah to stand up for the second, or for the second to stand for the third, when he does that, he makes a itimad, yeah, itimad al-an. be read on the earth and let's answer. We discussed this a lot in the last 2 or 3 classes. So I think that it suffices. You have a lion's ass to go and show them there. A lion's ass. Well, let me tell you that. The right feet, we keep the left on the ground and sit on it. This is the sitting. This sitting is called Ishtirash. Because this leg is spread on the ground like Firash. Firash means a bed. You spread this one and sit on it. So you have spread something to sit on. Then you erect it. This sitting is called Ishtirash. When you sit it, we have way. We either have our hands on our lap or on our knees or anything on the knees and our legs here, like that. But we fold the entirety of our hands and then have the thumb to hold the middle finger like this. We don't put it like this. It is wrong. We put it like this. And then we direct it. Big shape. We shake the hands. We will not do it right, left. Neither will we say up, down. Just like that. This left hand will not be clasped. If you place the right on the knee, you place the left on the knee. If you place the right on the leg up here, you also place the left hand at the same place. You make that here. Your eyes must be looking at the palm, the finger, as you shake the hand. As you shake the finger, you look at the finger, not on the place where that's wrong. You look at it. And then you see your tahiyyat. At-tahiyyatu lillah. Wa-salawatu wa-tayyibatu wa-salawat. As-salamu alayka ayyuhal nabi. Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As-salamu alayna wa ala ibadillah salihin. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم. Suffice that we stop here so that we can take our question inside. If certain things, is it allowed for Al-Masbuk, the one who joins the Salah late, The Imam perhaps is on the recital of a surah, and then he joins the salah. Is it allowed for him in the Sharia to recite Dua al-Istiftah? Huwa masbuku. Iza dakhala wa qad shara' al-imamu fi al-qira'ah. Lidhalika huwa masbuk. Hal yajuz min masbuki an yastaftiha ba'da at-takbira aw ba'da takbirati al-ihram? No. It repeatedly answered this question in this class. Cool. What should you do? Now, he will just make takbirat al-ihram and the muslim. He will not even recite surat al-fatiha. What is the ruling on comparative religion? We have also been discussing on this. And then it's not about the salah he gave the time. His brother is asking, can we point the finger without shaking it yet? If you don't shake it, shaking it is from the sunnah of salah. Yes, you meet your reward, but your salah is not a salah of blame. If you just point without shaking. But I wouldn't tell the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam, you do that in salah, then you leave. Shake it. Because the next thing they are shaking, you'll be completing your salah when you shake it. The salah will be imperfect when you shake it. When a person observes salah, if 10 people observe salah, they will not have 10 equal rewards. Their rewards will be different. The more conforming they are in their salah to the sunnah, the better their salah with regards to the rest of the people. All other things being equal. Because the person may physically perform the best salah, and his niyyah will spoil his salah. May Allah protect all of us. This one, I will not see your own, you will not see my own. What intention did I perform my salah with? You will not see. I will not see. So Allah alone knows that to come. But the advice is that we all should ensure that we do not waste away our actions because of absence of Islam. May Allah protect all of us. Alaykum as-salam. Naam. You say what? You think it will do something persistently. What is it? This khimar that you wear? The khimar that you wear, you see people doing it persistently. Yes, I have seen people doing it persistently too. Is it from the sunnah? It's from the sunnah. You don't know. Oh, the other brother on Toban, is it from the sunnah too? The two of you, fortunately, you are on opposite ends of the masjid. The Prophet Muhammad, he will do it like that sometimes or like this. The day he came on first to Makkah, he was on Toban, alayhi salam. And that Toban, under him, the Toban, Lawani, that is the meaning of the Toban. The brother is wearing a Toban. It says, وَعَلَيْهِ mikfar. He had a mikfar under that cover. You know what a mikfar is? Helmet. Because they could short shoot him an arrow, alayhi salatu wasalam. So under the cover, he was wearing a helmet, and then a cap, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then his turban. This hadith is in Sahih al-Bukhari. So they are you. The I think so. Imam Abdul Muhammad ibn Muslim ibn Shihab ibn Zubayr. It is this hadith is known with him. And Imam al-Tirmidhi also mentioned it in the book, Shama'il al-Nabi. One day, Uthman ibn Affan, this hadith occurred in Musnad Imam Ahmad. Uthman ibn Affan was walking by the masjid, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting like this, afiyah, sitting. Uthman walked by, and the Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there will be a fitna. That man will be on the right path. So because it was the way he was, Uthman ibn Affan was wearing his own when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was alive. One of the companions said, I rushed to go and see who was that. So he raised the khimar and saw it was Uthman ibn Affan. So Uthman would do that when the Prophet was alive. That is from the Takrirat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You can wear it like that. You can wear it like this. But some of the people put it on the neck. Those are the people of Sufiya. That one does not have a proof in the face. This Lawa Nita Sumori, Katiyo, Nishetuna. We either put it on our head, or we do what? We make it to wear a khima. Either of them is correct. Now, your question now. Your persistent question. Now, if that what? When you want to, from the thought, for the thought. While on the sitting, no? Don't say it when you are sitting down. Don't sleep when you are sitting down. Try to start standing up. When we were discussing just suddenly sit up, one of the things we mentioned then, and we read the hadith, was when you stand up from the sajda, you can raise your hand. As you stand up, you raise your hand and sit down. As you raise your head from the place of sitting, you raise your hand. But you must have raised your, you must have started the action. But when you raise your hand first, before standing up, you must have a clear context on it. If not for the standing of going for the ruku and then going for sujood, those ones have clear context that when you go, you can raise your hand first before you go. We read those ahadith wrong. But to say before you stand up, you can raise your hand, you are still in that sitting. And that takbir is takbir of al-intiqal. So if you don't have a clear context that allows you to do it while sitting down, then you must do it while in motion. Do you understand? So what we need to affirm that is correct is a text that says we can say that takbir while still sitting down. Otherwise, the basic rule is that it is a takbir of al-intiqal. The time to make it is what? Hina. Yes. While standing up. You get this point? And me, I don't know such text. So that's why I would say, do it while standing up. I'm well aware that ulama criticize making a takbir or al-intiqal while you are still in the previous way. For example, you are in sajda, you make takbir, Allahu Akbar, while in sajda, before sitting down. They say that it is wrong. Because that takbir is not part of the azkar of sajda. Do you get this point? So if we don't have a clear context, as in the examples that we gave, why you are going on Roku, why you are going for Suju, on these occasions, yes, the texts are clear. You can make those takbirat before you go. Otherwise, make the takbirat as you are changing from one position to the other, not while you are still in the previous position. Do you understand? Allahu Akbar. If you ask them in a nice manner, you have a text that says, we can sit down, make takbir, raise our hands before standing up. They may look for something to do. If they don't find relief upon what you ask, don't make the takbir when you sit down. Make the takbir when you are standing up. Allahu Akbar. Alayhi salam. After completing the tashahud, for the second one you mean, the second tashahud, yes, before tashahud, people open their hands. You know, after the tahiyyah, they do like this. There is no such thing. Because it's an action in salah. In salah, there are things you can't do. Every other action is prohibited except the actions that are allowed in salah. So that opening of the hand, no. Once you end your hand, just say for you. To now say, okay, open your hand first before the person will not have it. Just after your adhkar, while you're on the tashahud or tahiyyah, just make your tashahud afterwards. You don't need to specifically now draw up an action, say, okay, open your hand. Some people also, when they make the tashahud, they don't point the hand until they get to ashadu an la ilaha illallah. Some of the Hanafis do that. They will not point the hand until they get to ashadu an la ilaha illallah. It is not from the Sunnah. What is mentioned of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, once he sits down for that tashahud, he stretch his hand. Alayhi salatu wasalam. So that is the correct thing to do. You don't need to set, you know, especially now begin to open the hand before we make a tashahud. Some people, even when they make a tashahud, they say, As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. You know all of these. Bouncing the head of the word of God. This deal is easy. Allahu Akbar. Alaykum salam. What about it? I'm sure we discussed it too. Al-Jalsa Tubayna Sajida Day. Where do we place our hands? On our head? I know what he wants, but I will not go. Place your hands on your lap or on your knees, just like you mentioned. Place your hands either on the lap or on the knee, or anywhere around there, and make sure that they are all in the direction of the Qibla. Alaykum salam. Does that answer your question? No. Does it answer it? No, I know. But place your hands there. The issue is, some of the ulama say, even in the Jalsa Baina Sajdatayn, we should point our hands. Like Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Utaymi. Others say, no. The hadith of pointing is referring to the two Sajda, the two Jalsa. Imma the first or the second before At-Tasleem. And that is the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar. Hadith occurs in Sahih Muslim. That is the correct thing. The pointing should only be in those two cities, not in the Jalsa Baina Sajdatayn. and offer the hadith of why it is the sujood that he employed. That hadith is talking in general sense, referring to those two people, not al-dalsa today in the culture. Love. So you now ask me a question again. What is the clear cut proof that we should place our hands on the law? He says those hadith, those same hadith point to that. But without pointing the finger, because pointing the finger is meant for the two things that go take up out of salah, either the first or the second, depending on the kind of salah we are observing. So the same proof for them, that when we sit in those situations, we place our hands on our lap, those are the same evidences that are employed to say that between Asajjate, we should place our hands on our lap. The question is related to the question of the other brother, Al-Khimar. Put your khimar, you have removed it. It's sunnah, put it. It says, there is a report that the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, before he raises his hand in the paper, I don't know it. He raises his hand. When he says that he raises his hand. Now, I think that was clear from the first answer. Those takbirat, they have a name. And they pick that name from the hadith of Abu Huraira, we repeated on that. That hadith occurs in Bukhari and Muslim. Those takbirat, their name is takbirat in Iltiqa. The takbir, you think you change from one position to the other. So the first basic rule regarding all of them is that you say them, if you are unco, when you start standing up, you say, Sami Allahu liman. If you are sajida on the ground, Allahu akbar. If you are standing, you want to go for ruku, Allahu akbar. It is in this, during the movement that you say them. This is the basic rule about takbirat. If we will not follow this basic rule, then the text will be clear cut. If we will not say the time to say Allahu Akbar, for example, if we are standing, want to go for ruku, we can say Allahu Akbar before we go. If you ask why, the text is clear cut. It says, Summa yukabbiru wa yarfa'u yadayhi. Go. يحاذي به إماما كبير أو أذنين ثم يركع. إن شاء الله أكبر يريد أن either to the level of his shoulders or to the level of his earlobe ثم يركع. After that you now go with it. It is a clear context. Then you can say that to Allahu Akbar and then you go with it. Likewise, while going from the standing to sajda, the text is also clear cut. But you cannot employ that when you are on sajda, coming to sit down. Because what it will mean is that that takbir is from the adhkar of sajda. And it is not from the adhkar of sajda. It's great, it's equally in the court. You must have raised your head before you start saying, Allahu Akbar, so sit down. So it's not for the clear cut cases where the text says you can raise your hand, say takbir before you go. Then the basic rule is that you can only say those takbirat during the motion of movement from one position to the next position. So if we want to say, okay, from the sitting of tahiyya, we can say takbir, raise our hands before we stand up. The simple question I will ask is, what is the proof? Otherwise, the basic rule is to say that takbir while in motion from sitting down to standing up. Is this point clear? So if we say, okay, the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, each time when he raises his hand, he feels the grace. He has not talked about movement. The matter is between takbir and movement, not between takbir and raf'ul yadayn. The hadith is regarding takbir and raf'ul yadayn. I hope this point is clear. Abu Abdullah, is it clear? His question is about takbir and movement. The report is about takbir and raf'ul yadayn. He can make takbir and raf'ul yadayn. What about moving? This question is about takbir and movement. Can we say the takbir before moving? That is this question. Can we say the takbir before moving? So we say no, the takbir is while moving, during moving. Except we have a proof that says we can say that takbir before moving in that position, then we follow it. Anyone? When we are cool, don't look up, don't look left and right, and make sure you are balanced with your head. Look anywhere your side sees. Don't look left and right. Don't look up. Because if you look up, your head will go up than the rest of your back. So keep your head level with your back. Don't look right. Don't look left. Look wherever your eyes see. Whoever insists that you must look in a particular place will give you a proof. When we are far younger than this, our elder brother Fee is the teacher of Salah. Some of them used to go to Yadi on Jamaat to Tabli. So they say when we pray, where should we be looking at? Where we prostrate? When we are looking, where will we look at? When you see the legs, what is the proof for it? What is the proof? You don't look, don't do what he does not say you should do. Make sure when you are cool, your head is balanced, your back is balanced, your hand is balanced. Don't look right, don't look left. Why do I say don't look right, don't look left? You didn't ask me what is the proof for that. Did we discuss that? Aisha radiallahu anha asked the Prophet Muhammad, looking right and left is called Alim al-Kifat al-Fisholah. Looking right and left. Aisha asked him, alayhi salatu wasalam, what is the ruling about looking left and right? He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ذَلِكَ اخْتِلَاصٌ. That is a feeling. يَخْتَلِصُهُ الشَّيْطَانُ مِنْ صَلَاةِ الْعَرْضِ. Shaitan uses it to steal the salah of the servant. كَمَا وُرَارَ. Looking left and right. So don't look left, right in salah. Likewise, don't look up. Because the Prophet predicted it, alayhi salatu. He warned us and said, those who look up, Allah can change their heads to the heads of donkeys. So don't look up, don't look left and right. So where do you look at? Wherever your sight goes. But as for the hand, when shaking the hand, you must be looking at the, when shaking the finger, you must be looking at that finger. That is the sunnah regarding that. Allahu a'lam. Alaykum as-salam. In a single $1. Yes. He's asking. You see reason in the hands, Muntaha Rafu Ula Marifat. Where does reason end? Is it? It's talking about the number of times we raise our hands in Salah. Can we raise our hands, for example, the person is performing 2 rak'ahs of prayer, Salatul Fajr. The first rak'ah, he raises his hands for Takbiratul Ihram, Allahu Akbar. When he goes for ruku, he raises his hands, Allahu Akbar. When he stands up for ruku, he raises his hands, Allahu Akbar. When he goes on sajda, he does not raise his hands. When he stands up for sajda, he does not raise his hands. When he goes on sajda again, he does not raise his hands. When he stands up for the second rak'ah, he raises his hands. Allahu Akbar. When he goes on ruku, he raises his hands. Allahu Akbar. When he stands up for ruku, he raises his hands. Allahu Samia Rabbana Lakal Hamd. When he goes on sajda, he raises his hands. Allahu Akbar. When he stands up from sajda to sajda, he raises his hands. Allahu Akbar. When he goes on sajda again, he raises his hands. Allahu Akbar. When he sits down for tahiyyah, he raises his hands again. Allahu Akbar. He has more reward in the second rak'ah than the first rak'ah. He has more reward in the second rak'ah than in the first rak'ah. The more you do, the more you get. Can we make 4 rak'ahs without tasleem? Yes, especially for the rawatib of Salatul Dhuhr, the Qabliyyah and the Ba'diyyah. You can make 4 straight rak'ahs without sitting in the chair. Before Zuhur and after. Hadith is authentic. No. Yes, clear context for you. What do you mean? Pray 2 rak'ahs, sit down, make sahiya. You don't make the slim and you stand up again. Is it? Don't be them. The Prophet will be so from this. Alaykum salam. You didn't get this question, the second question? Can we make witness the way we pray Maghrib? You want to pray 3 rak'ahs of witness. Can we make first 2 rak'ahs? We sit down, we make tahiyyah, we don't make tasleem. And then we stand up just like we make in Salatul Maghrib. And then we make one more. Say, no, we are prohibited from doing that. If you want to sit down for first 2, you must make the 3. You stand up for 1. It will still count as 3 rak'ahs. Or you make the 3 without sitting down at all. It will still count as 3 rak'ahs of witr for you, inshallah. But to sit down like Maghrib lady. Alaykum. Don't we have questions from there? Alaykum salam. Send them. You send them? Okay. Now, if someone works in Boro, you will pray Kafir every day when you are in Boro and before you reach Oshodo. And whenever you leave Oshodo, once you step to Adere, straight, you are qualified for Salatul Fajr. Even in Owode here, you are qualified for us. You are qualified for Kafir. Owode is not Oshodo. Owode is not Oshodo. Owode is, as they say, it is a journey. Okay. Even Adere, when they discuss it, we will not be party to it. But Salat in Qasr is Salat in Musafir. Bear this basic thing in mind. Salat in Qasr, the prayer in which we read the number of units of prayers we make is Salatul Musafir, is a prayer of the traveling person. So it will be binding on him whenever he is traveling. So it means what if he's traveling? From here tomorrow, it's not up to my tutor, Yanokajao. I will use this as an example. Here tomorrow, it's not the only tomorrow, where OAU has their satellite or distance learning center. It's not up to my tutor, Yanokajao. But my tutor, Yanokajao, is not a journey. But Oshobo to Oritamoro is journey. So it's not about distance. It's about the concept. If you are in Oshobo, will you tell somebody that Mufede Oritamoro and the person thinks that you are going to Ayetoro? No, Oritamoro is a journey. Even in Ife, if you are in Ife, you are going to Oritamoro, it's a journey. The people in Ife consider it as a journey. So once you are making a journey, no matter how short the journey is, once it is known to be a journey by custom, then you are qualified for Salat al-Qasr. Alaykum as-salam. No, not regarding it. Okay. Now, he's asking a question. If we say we should go to only a journey and we are due for custom, does it mean that if a woman is going to Owodi, Ufelo, no, it's Owodi, she wants to buy tomato and pepper, cheap? Are you? Does she need her mahram? Yes, she needs her mahram. You didn't say her when I said you are qualified for custom. You didn't say her when I said you are qualified for custom. Every journey that a woman makes in Islam, her husband or her son that has matured must go with her. My dear brothers, we are making her. We grew up to be following our sisters about. Not traveling. Don't talk of traveling. Even market. They will say, hey, why not come here? Tell me, oh, yeah, you want 10 years and see a lot. We grew up yesterday and then before yesterday. I saw many of them. In a family program we went to yesterday and then before yesterday. Because they were young, they were old. They would say we should go with them. Not to talk of journey. Make it a habit to have your male children follow your female. Even if there are two boys, make the two boys follow them. A sister was reported to me. She needs to be up in Lagos. She said one, her brothers were with her. She's very lucky. She has four boys and she's the last girl. You know all the boys, all the so two of them followed her. She dropped from the bus. She gave the conductor something. Because you know the way they behave in Lagos. He made one bad remark. One of the said, Abuni Eti Darusha Eduapa Edo. The conductor started begging, say, oh, sorry, please, sorry. She didn't say anything. She said, she just relaxed. My brother's with you. If it was like that 5 years ago, we need it more now. Because the world has changed so rapidly between now and 5 years from now. The world has really changed. The world has really changed. Make your boys follow your girls. Don't leave the girls to just go. Make the boys follow them. Let the girls know that they have to be followed. Everything that is pricey is protected. everything that is valuable. What do we do to it? Who protects it? I will tell you. Last week, Wednesday, I was in Maryland with one of my family. We were just walking. Some guys were drinking coke. They were discussing some young girls. So they started saying, how will this one wear a wedding gown? It's an irrelevant question. You are asking a PhD student how he will write down. He has passed that stage. Do you understand? You know wedding gown? That evil clothes they wear when they marry. They were still among them. I knew you were talking to a brother. In fact, I regretted not going there to confront them. Young boys and young girls. What do you mean? Can we interact? Not a quarrel. Not a quarrel. Papa! I regretted not doing it. I should have gone to these young boys and girls. They don't know anything as undergraduates. They think that 4 months of university is the end of the junior. One could have gone to the young boys and young girls. After the wedding gown, what happened? It matters more than the wedding gown. I'm sure we understand what we are. So you are asking somebody who is a PhD student, you are asking him how he passed exam, or how will this one write exam. He passed that stage long ago. You are asking a veiled woman complete from her head to her toe with her husband. You are asking her how she will wear wedding gown. Who has a problem? You are the one that has a problem. That person has passed that stage you are talking about. You are the one that has a problem. How will she wear wedding gown? When a woman is with her husband or her brother or her uncle, if you make this statement, she will just smile and go away. But sometimes, when she says no, if they make this statement, she may see that. She may see that. A brother has told me once what happened between himself and his wife. I will narrate this and I will talk about this matter. I will get to other issues. We are traveling to Abuja. In the night bomb, those days, this matter is about 15, 20 years ago now. Long ago. Okay. He said, Omu wanted to defecate. And they were in the middle of the road where the buses cannot stop. How will the Omu defecate? He said, look here. I'm your husband. Calm down. He said he went to look for bag, holy bag. Yeah, where they are sitting. You know it's luxurious for. So yeah, do it, yeah. She did it. Cleaned herself up, did everything. He wrapped it. He threw it outside the window. So if the husband was not there, what will happen to that human? Even if she's able to stop the vehicle, what will the people be saying about her? I remembered another narration. Please let me tell you. This one is very recent. A brother was traveling with her elder sister. The sister, her head will be touching this fan. Only a little will remain. Small will remain. If she stands up right, it will almost touch this fan. The brother is not big like that. Big like that. Big. So they were traveling. In the vehicle, the feet of the vehicle is tight. Because of their tall nature. So they said, driver, please, from here to Ibadan here, driver, please stop. The driver will stop. They will stretch their leg, they come back into the leg. And they stop, driver, please stop. They stretch their leg, they come back into the leg. She told me, she said, one of the people in the leg said, I will let her send that one. The brother has said, I never. The people said, I want to talk to one. Emma, for us, that brother will beat all of them together. If you see him, in giving time, things like that, you can watch them one pray for the same. You have been my sister, it's a very good thing. Let us take this hikmah from the Quran. Allah says, Ya ayyuhan nabi, كل أزواجك وبناتك ونساء المؤمنين يدنين عليهن من جلابيبهن ذلك أدنى أن يعرفن فلا يؤذين وكان الله غفورا رحيما وجه سليف لئن لم ينتهي المنافقون والذين في قلوبهم مرض والمرجفون في المدينة لنغرينك بهم ثم لا يجاورونك فيها إلا قليلا ملعونين أينما فتشوا أخرجوا وقتلوا تقتيلا. This verse of Jilbab in Surah Al-Ahzab was revealed in Medina. Some useless people used to stay on the road and be abusing women wearing hijab and all of this. They used to be abusing the women. So Allah says, you women, Muslim women, and you're that jilbab, up to toe. Jilbab means something that covers the entirety of the body. From the head like this to the toe. Please, women, don't be annoyed with me. That is the truth that I'm telling you. After Allah gave that instruction, He now said, لَإِنْ لَمْ يَنْتَهِ الْمُنَافِقُونَ If those people who are doing that, if you see they don't stop. But before that, he says, ذَلِكَ أَدْنَا يُوْرَفْنَا When you wear the bath, they will not, I won't believe it. Me and the lady, فَلَا يُوْرَفْنَا They will not be abusing you as they are abusing you before. Because if they try it now, we will deal with them. We send them out of Medina. It means, Women wearing hijab must not think that they will not be abusing them. One. Two. We must be ready to protect them when people abuse them. Because what Allah told the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam is that if they continue their abuses, and they walk on Medina, send them away. So we must always be in a position to protect them. So when you tell her to travel alone, go with it, or to anywhere, you expose her. They will market. Let them go with their boys. He's telling that, my dear brothers, and I don't have any grievance about having female children. I love female children. But I always like first children to be made. The first people in the house to be boys. So because of this, so that they will protect their younger ones. If it is just that Allah has given us, may He bless all of them for us. وَلَيْسَ الزَّكَرُكَ الْأُمْسَ Let me stop at that. Is it permissible for a married woman to still be in active communication with non-mahram against her husband's wish? All in the name of, they were once my mentor to see. It is wrong. It is wrong. If you know a sister, the day she married, she has gone. Don't call her again ever. And I always encourage men, if you marry a woman, especially who was an undergraduate in university, all of these kinds of things, once you marry her, change her number. Give her another number. That old number, take it away. Give her another one. Her former WhatsApp number, delete it. Somebody who is a major general in the army told me this. He says if he marries a wife, she will not use telephone for 5 years. If she be graduate. Once you enter my house, I'll give you a post. I will now give you another phone you will be using that you cannot browse on it. No Facebook, no WhatsApp. No, I need to check. 33 times even big now. Take this phone. Just call me alone and I can call you. Your brother, your father, your mother, your relative, yes, call them. Any other person must not call me. These things cause a lot of problems. Before I start describing that, let's see what the Prophet said. Al-Imam Muhammad Nasir bin al-Albani in Silsilat al-Ahadith al-Sahiha. He reported, he mentioned a hadith in which the Messenger said, alayhi salatu wa salam, that it is not appropriate for a man to talk to the wife of another man except by his permission. No man should talk to somebody else's wife except the husband has the permission. Talk to him. Then she can pick her phone. Many times, if it's a question, she's asking, oh, that's you, what is it? This is a bit. She's speaking for religious guidance. But on the issue of we just knew ourselves yesterday and then this thing, no. No, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't call a man. No man should call a woman too. In the name of, oh, we are in university together. Don't do it. This thing has caused a lot of people. I wanted to say one or two, but I will not say anyone. Big people in the homes of people. So it is not correct to be calling or talking to a man in the name of Don't do that. It is part of the idea. You are mean. National, international, if your husband wants to marry you. I used to tell young so think well, when you want to see the husband? When you want to see the husband, think well. Many sisters like, you know, to choose a brother that is, whatever. Social, all of this. When they now run into issues, they want to ask about religious matters, they start asking their former enemies. And that was asked, how is Abu Labada? And then they start discussing. You marry the Amir. So that you know that you are not asking anybody. This is my sheikh, Ibn Taymiyyah now. This is my husband. My own Ibn Taymiyyah is my husband. It is best for women. But we know that not every woman can marry every Ibn Taymiyyah. So men should be careful. Stop conversing with people's wives. I know a brother, before he marries a woman, he has three commandments to tell her before marriage. The first condition is, sister, I'm a very jealous man. Once you marry me, no other man. Do you agree? No talking, no sitting, no former meal, no former working with, no. All we end the view of our nikah. Think about it well. The second commandment in the day is about hygiene. The brother has divorced about a wife because of hygiene. Hygiene, poor hygiene. Imatoto, first of all. So women are like that. They are ever dirty. Room is dirty, kitchen is dirty, toilet is dirty, parlor is dirty. Every time she's bad. I know many men can't tolerate it. That is the second thing you will tell the woman. The third one, I will say it. It's very, very private to me. Let me leave that one till another day. Some people used to stay long on the last schedule. Is it permissible? No. There is no proof to stay long in the last season. All the sajdat have the same rules and the same al-kaf. This year, what are the things that are allowed to, that we are allowed to say? No, nothing. There is no special al-kaf for the last season. All the sujood have the same meaning, the same as God. What can a pregnant woman who is closer to delivery be saying? Because someone said she should be saying, is not authentic yet. There is no recommendation. Don't be making your normal avatar every day. No special. But I always tell the people, Surah Al-Falaq, Surah Al-Nas, the same is every time. Without any time, you don't feel any hope. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Qul A'udhu bi Rabbil Falaq, min sharri ma khalaq. Like normal avatar. Same Falaq and Nas repeatedly. Not just pregnant to my everybody. My dear brother, anytime I'm coming to a public place, I don't miss it. Falak Anas. If I want to sit down, people are saying, start saying Falak Anas. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Qul A'udhu bi Rabbil Falak. All these eyes. For all of us, too. I'm not saying it for myself alone. Let's get used to saying Falak and Nas repeatedly. Surah Al-Falaq, Surah Al-Nas, always. Surah Al-Falaq, Surah Al-Nas, Surah Al-Falaq, Surah Al-Nas. Asking Allah for protection. May Allah protect all of us. Somebody coming from Ilojigbo. If somebody is in Ilojigbo going to Ilojigbo, will he say examine or not? It's a breakup. You know who is a big CPO? Even I think it will surprise for us to stop here today. Federal government is constructing a road between Ilojigbo and Ilojigbo, and you are saying that Ilojigbo is not a big city. They have the number 4 man in the country now, or number 5. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika.